Hello, and welcome to the 23rd edition of the Next Man Up podcast. My name is Logan Wortman, and I'm once again joined by the usual suspects, Jake Broth and Anthony Letzvenuk. How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's pretty good, actually.
That's good.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute since we've recorded and talked about NBA sports in general. And there's been quite a lot of that has changed. Like after our last episode we recorded, I started, you know, making notes for what we're going to talk about in the next one. And a lot of that stuff was like, LaMarcus Aldridge debut, Oladipo's debut, talk about like the NCAA tournament championship, all that kind of stuff, which is kind of outdated now, but that's cool. I had a vacation. I went to New Mexico, hiking, kayaking, stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. But for the sports person inside me, that was a very bad trip. You know, the Nuggets, who had been on fire ever since the trade deadline a few weeks ago, they scored, outscored their opponents in, you know, pretty historic fashion as far as, you know, the Nuggets franchise is concerned. And we had, I think it was 8-0 win streak that we went on ever since the deadline. And so the two games that we played while I was in New Mexico, which was only about 4 days, we lost both of those after winning 8 in a row. And like not just by a little bit either. Like the Celtics one, Jacob, I don't know if you watched that one. Yeah.
40-8?
It was ridiculous. Like, Yeah, no, it was bad. And it was all triggered by Jokic leaving the game late in the third, like, you know, he normally does. Like, he'll usually play from the start of the first quarter and then go out, you know, late first and sit at the beginning of the second and come back in around like 8, 7, 9 minutes left in the second quarter, something like that. And then he just copies that over for the next half as well. Mm-hmm. And so when he went out in the late third, our bench was just, you know, and both times he went out too, the bench was just horrid. It was so bad. Like, and I, you know, right when we made this trade and everything, I was like, man, we have a really good bench. And now I'm like, I don't really feel like we have that good of a bench. Like, just the fit of the guys in the second unit just does not gel sometimes. Like, Monty Morris is really like our best scoring option out of all those guys on the bench, and it just doesn't happen super often. Like, I don't know. And we need to figure out our backup center rotations as well. Like, with JaVale McGee, I feel like he's been really good as the backup center for Jokic. I think we just need to do that all the time. Just McGee whenever Jokic isn't on the floor, instead of trying to do this Millsap, Jamichael Green, 2 power forward lineup thing. So, yeah, anyways, that game was just not good. I think Jokic was like a plus 20 that game, and we lost.
Jeez.
So maybe it probably wasn't that egregious, but it was a substantial amount. But yeah, it was a bad game. Probably the worst game that we've had this season, which is weird because we just were coming off like all so like such good games after the deadline. But then the next night, because we did it was a back to back. We played against the Warriors. We lost that one too. And Steph was going crazy. Scored 53 points. And for some reason, you know, I knew that Jamal was out for the past like 4 games before that. And he was dealing with some, it was in his right knee though, right knee soreness. That's why he was sitting out. But then he comes back to guard Steph Curry, which is probably the toughest assignment in the league for him, like for a point guard. It's like you're chasing him. Even when he doesn't have the ball, you're running all over the place. Yeah. So, I don't know. And then also him playing like 33 minutes and trying to close out the game. And he took some hard falls earlier in the game too, Jamal did. And then obviously, you know, the about 50 seconds left in the game, he went up for a layup. And when he planted with his left leg, he hyperextended his left knee. And he tore his ACL. So, He's going to be out presumably for like 11 to 13 months is what's been talking about. So that's kind of a bummer. I was really excited about this team ever since the deadline. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's kind of like a roller coaster of emotions for me with the Nuggets this season. Because like at first I was like, I'm not expecting us to be as good as we were last year. You know, last year we made it to the conference finals. This year my goal is I just want to win a playoff series. Like, that's what I set the bar at. As like the goal for me personally as a fan. But then after the deadline and like all the other kind of questionable, you know, cases for, you know, the Lakers or the Nets or all these other teams that are considered contenders, I was like, I feel pretty good about the Nuggets.
Alert! Emergency news bulletin. Jacob Roth has to leave. Please enjoy the rest of the episode with Anthony Letzvanuk and Logan Wartman. Have a great day. You can just plug that in.
That's cool. So yeah, it was a bummer. Him going down. Like, I think, what was I at? I was saying, oh yeah, like I set my expectations as like winning a playoff series. But then after the deadline and like seeing what we could do, you know, the like where we could be in comparison to these other teams, it was like, dude, I honestly kind of like our chances against some of these other really good teams. And, you know, a big part of that was, you know, Bubble Murray, you know, Jamal Murray being able to play in the playoffs at least somewhat, you know, like he has in the past.
Yeah.
But now it's like, obviously, we should be a tier lower for sure in terms of, you know, teams in the West. I think, you know, I think we were edging out above Jazz and Suns, in my opinion, as like contenders to take the West before Jamal's injury. But now after, I think we're down more in like the Portland-Dallas range.
Really?
Do you agree with that or no? Do you think we're better than those teams still?
I think you guys still might be a little better. I think, I mean,
yeah,
I think we can be.
I think we can be.
Monte Morris has, you know, he's filled in well, I'm pretty sure, looking at some of the stats for Jamal. Because you guys did go on that 8-game win streak.
Half of them were without Jamal, basically. Yeah. So
I mean, yeah, it's obviously not going to be the same, but I think when you have an MVP caliber player, I think you can adjust and, you know, make things end up, you know, somewhat working, you know? And there's the rumors of signing Austin Rivers for the Nuggets. And I think that'd be like someone very good to have coming off the bench, another scorer absence.
Yeah, for sure.
But I honestly don't think they'd go below Portland or like go to that tier. I still think that they're a better team than, you know, the Trailblazers, the Mavericks. It's upsetting. I was happy for you, you know. I was hopefully looking towards a Nuggets 76ers matchup in the finals. Like, that would just be so good.
Oh man.
And I like Jamal Murray too. I enjoy watching him.
Yeah.
So it's like, it sucks to see him. And it was a bad tear too. Like, watching it, you can see like the exact moment where his knee hyperextended and his fall and the way he was like crawling on the floor. It sucked.
Yeah. He usually has like a really high pain tolerance too for stuff. So it was weird to see him like that.
And he's another one of those like explosive players too. Like, he can speed past people, he can, you know, jump up. He has some insane dunks. So
yeah. For sure. Hopefully he, you know, I think where modern medicine is now, I think he can come back as good as he was, if not even better. You know, there are stories like that with people tearing their ACL being able to come back even more explosive and stuff like that, just because focus in on those muscles in the rehab and stuff. But I hope so. Also, I think it's also different than like a D Rose or a Russell Westbrook in the way that I don't think he's quite as athletic as those guys. And also he's just way more finesse, you know, in skill in his game in terms of like scoring and stuff like that. So I think he'll be all right. But
it's just when it happened and like how it affects this team is like seems like it could have been the worst possible type of time. Like even if it happened within the playoffs, I don't feel like it would have been as quite as bad because like for this team, you know, we just got Aaron Gordon and our lineup right now that I was really excited about with Murray, Barton and Porter and Gordon and Jokic. Barton is on an expiring deal right now. Well, he has a player option for next year, but there's been a lot of rumors, circulating that he probably won't pick it up and he's probably going to go somewhere else next season. So I thought this might be our last year with Barton. So I really wanted to, you know, kind of get somewhere this year. But then also Porter and Gordon, both of them next year is their last year on their deal. And Porter's on his rookie contract, so we're going to have to pay him next time around. So probably near max if he keeps coming up, you know, playing the way that he has been lately and turns into the player that many Denver fans believe he is. I think he will deserve the max. So it'll be tough to have three guys on a max and then one guy who's on a near max in Gordon. Hopefully he'll make less money next go around. Like I can see the argument for that. Cause like in Orlando, he was viewed as like being overpaid, you know? And so with his role here, hopefully it might, you know, take him down a notch, but I don't know. I feel like that's kind of far fetched cause I think people view him as a much more serviceable type of player now, than he was in Orlando, just with how he's been able to fit with this team. But who knows? I just feel like keeping those four guys around long term is going to be hard to do financially, but it's not impossible. But I feel like really committing to that, we would have liked to see them play out this season and going into next year too before we make that decision, before we, you know, really decide to roll with those four guys.
If it would be me, I think I would definitely go with MPJ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I'm not trying to say that want to re-sign Gordon over MPJ. I just mean keeping all of them together.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably going to be hard. But like it's doable though. You know, if we needed to, and I guess it's not a whole lot there to convince ownership to do that now if we don't see what those four guys can do, you know, in the playoffs together. So, but you know, it's kind of like I like to look on the bright side with everything too. I kind of do that with lots of different things. Like, even if things are really upsetting, I try to think about, you know, the upsides to the situation. So, and with this is like now we get to see some of those guys that I feel like this Nuggets team is really stacked, and I feel like we can see more shine for some of those other guys. Getting more touches, getting more shots, see what they can do. I think this is going to be great for MPJ's development. Just, you know, as like the scorer that we know he can be, and you know, his building his chemistry alongside Jokic.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and it gives more opportunities to Gordon as well to be more of a primary ball handler type of guy. Will Barton, you know, all those guys. Monte Morris will probably be starting, I'm guessing, but I also, you know, there's a lot of Nuggets fans that think going to start Faku and keep Monte Morris as the backup point guard just to, because his chemistry with the second unit, you know. So I don't mind that idea because also we've seen so far this year that Faku's one of the best players playing alongside Jokic on our team. Like Jokic's best minutes come with Faku in the game also. So that might be really good. I think Faku's like probably the best pick and roll passer in the NBA. Like it's
really
like, given his size, you know, cause like guys like Luka and Harden obviously are really good pick and roll playmakers.
Yeah.
But Faku just like threads the needle on such crazy passes every single time. It seems like there's a pick and roll action. And it's like, how do you do that? Like he can't even see like JaVale McGee, but like somehow he puts the ball right where JaVale can catch it every time.
It's that Euro ball touch.
Yeah. So I don't mind the idea of that. A lot of people say, though, that Faku will get picked on in a playoff series defensively then, just because of his size, which I understand that, and I'm not saying that that won't happen, but honestly, just knowing what I know about Faku so far this season, I really just want to see that happen, like see what how that would happen, because he's looked so good defensively this year, even with his size. Just he makes up with effort and like his I guess basketball IQ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's such a competitor too. So I don't know. I would just like to see it happen. How would he react in a scenario like that if a team repeatedly is like picking on him defensively? It would be interesting. Like I kind of like his chances in that a little bit. But
yeah, it'd be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the West is very stacked. Also,
it is.
So who knows? You know, I feel like we can still win a playoff series. That's, I feel like, where I want to set the bar, like kind of going back to before.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at now, I feel like. And also the Nuggets have this pattern of like playing way better when there's less pressure on them. Like in the series when they're not the higher seed, they seem to just they play way better than if they're the higher seed.
Like it that seems. Underdog mentality.
Yeah. But I think a big part of that came from Jamal. So I don't know how it's going to bear out with this team. But I've seen a lot of Nuggets fans talking about that, about how, you know, we're this underdog type of team. We're going to be mm-hmm. better when the pressure's off. But, you know, I feel like Jamal was a big, big part in that. So I don't know. It just sucks, you know?
At least it didn't happen right before playoffs, you know? Like right,
it gives us time.
When you got like a your set schedule, your set rotation, your set just playbook for everything, mm-hmm. but now you have time to, or Malone has time to set up his team to mm-hmm. do the best they can. So
yeah,
I mean, yeah, it sucks. Sure.
I also, since this happened, I want him to focus more on development this year. Then
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah, we have Paul Millsap, but you know, he's going to be a free agent this summer. Do we really want to be still investing in Paul Millsap minutes right now? Like, I don't know. Like, why don't we just play Zeke Nagy? Like, who never sees the floor anymore since the deadline, basically. So
that's so annoying. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I feel like Nagy can be a really good player, and I'd like to see what he can be. You know what I mean? And also, Bol mm-hmm. Bol is just still there, you know?
Yeah, and every time he gets on the floor, he always does something amazing. So
yeah, mm-hmm. true. So I'd like to see that more. Jermichael Green, I've been really up and down with him this season. Like he's had a lot of moments where I love him, but then I feel like there's stretches, like back-to-back games, where he's just every single thing he does in the game is bad. It's like, what are you doing?
No, because I remember you saying specifically that, like, you've loved him this season. Like, he's done everything good.
I have. Like, he'll, for multiple games in a row, will just be awesome. And it's like, every time he comes in, he's getting, like, every offensive rebound. He's hitting every three. He's just, like, hustling and making all, like, these good plays. And it's like, I don't know. It's just easy to like him. And then, like, he's totally the opposite of that sometimes. And it's like, like in this past few games against the Celtics and against the Warriors, he just had a lot of fouls. Like he had so few minutes and so many fouls. It was like, it was crazy how many fouls he had. And all of them were like pretty egregious. And I don't know, it didn't make sense. Like so many moving screens. He's been really bad at like getting set on screens. And I think it was Damian Lee. He just completely threw to the ground and got a flagrant, like, and acted like he shouldn't have. It was like, what? You just threw him to the ground. Like, yeah. And he probably should have got a flagrant in the Celtics game also. I don't even remember what happened, but I remember something happened where, like, Brad Stevens was, you know, saying, hey, you need to go look at that or whatever. But the refs didn't even look at it for a flagrant, but they probably should have. Yeah, Jermichael Green's just, I don't know. You know, and with his age, maybe it's just better to focus on developing the other guys. But I'm not totally out on him because I've loved what I've seen from him earlier this season, and what he still can be, you know. And You know, Jokic talks him up a lot. So if Jokic likes him, it's a good thing too.
Yeah, he reminds me of like watching Dwight Howard, I guess, with your explanation. Like, I love him.
Oh, yeah. But
he's just does some idiotic things sometimes.
Yep.
So
I feel like JaVale McGee's in the same boat too.
Now imagine like, having both of those centers on the same team.
Yeah, with yeah. Yeah. So but JaVale's been awesome. Like as a backup, just rim protector, doing some good things in pick and roll. He's just playing really good defense, all that kind of stuff. Everything you want him to. He's been good. The things I don't like is sometimes he gets too fancy with trying to do like floaters and stuff like that, and it's like, take it easy. But yeah, he's been good. I like his chemistry with either of the backup point guards, with Campazzo or Morris.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we don't really gotta spend too much time here on the Nuggets. It's like, I don't know. It's interesting to think about because I have no idea what's going to happen this year. Like, I feel like we've said the last couple years now, ever since the Warriors dynasty kind of fizzled out, where it was like, oh, anything could happen in the playoffs this year. Like, who's going to win? But this year, I really feel like that. It's like, I have no idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be a good playoffs. I'm excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just so many question marks. It's like, do the Lakers, like, will they be able to get back to normal fast enough to, you know, make a run for the playoffs, or in the playoffs? And then, you know, the Clippers is this big question mark because of their collapse last year, and they haven't been like awesome this year. They've had good stretches and they're in one right now, but you know, they've been weird. And then I feel like it's been that way with almost every single team. Like, there's not a team that's like, oh, they've been just so good this whole time. Like, the Jazz have been really good this whole time, but they also have big question marks as far as how good are they going to be in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
And they're very unproven in the playoffs, and they also have a big weakness in, like, they don't have any LeBron stopper type of defender. And then the Suns, I think they do have that in, like, Jay Crowder, even Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. I probably can't throw Cam Johnson in that bucket, yeah. But he's he's a bigger wing, you know? And then but they, you know, Chris Paul, just his, I guess, history in the playoffs isn't, like, super good. It's just he seems to always have some kind of collapse in the playoffs, whether it be his team just inexplicably losing it or him getting injured type of thing. But and then, you know, Suns, obviously, all the rest of those guys are very unproven in the playoffs other than, I guess, Jay Crowder. But, you know, it's just kind of not a surefire bet for those guys either. But I'm honestly starting to lean Suns as my favorite in the West if Lakers aren't fully healthy and fully back to normal, you know.
That'd be so cool to see.
Yeah. And then in the East, in your side of things, you got the Sixers who, you know, Joel just came back, but they've been, they're probably the most consistent team out of all the Eastern Conference teams this season. I think that's safe to say. But the Nets have been up and down. Bucks have been really, really up and down. Celtics even more so, but mostly down until now. Like, Celtics are going back up again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Jacob, I don't know if there's going to be something before this that told you guys, but Jacob left because he had to go handle something, so he's not going to be with us for the rest of this episode. But we were going to be talking about his team, the Celtics, you know, kind of going off. But it's just in the East, there's not really much going on other than that, you know? And so,
Yeah.
How do you like your Sixers' chances then amidst all this?
I honestly love our chances. I really do. I think this year could be the year.
Yeah.
I mean, and we still haven't seen the team with George Hill, which, yes, he's, you know, people don't look at him as, like, you know, a huge difference, but he actually will be with the 76ers team for sure. So Shake Milton can be more of a shooting guard off the bench because that's more of his role. And Joel Embiid just being dominant, getting to the free throw line, like, he can't be stopped. He can't be stopped. And Simmons playing great defense. I think he needs to be more aggressive, though, drawing fouls.
Offensively, yeah.
Offensively, sure. Yeah, and just, you know,
shooting threes.
No, honestly, no, he doesn't have to.
No, I mean, I think he should, but that's too much to ask, I guess, right now.
But Curry, Danny Green just need to be hitting their threes, and then Tobias, you know, with his ISO plays,
and also playing
ISO bias. I like that. But he's also been playing good defense too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's just fun to watch this season. He's been so fun to watch and so consistent. He's hitting like a good number of threes as well. And I'm just so happy for him, especially after all the backlash from last season.
Yeah, from his
with contract. His contract and everything. Yeah. And also when the second unit comes on, it's usually him and Simmons that stay on. And just it works so well. Because you just let Toby roll. You just let him go and do his thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's good.
I'm excited. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I think we can do a lot. So, Joel Embiid just needs to stay healthy. That is the key. And he looks fully healthy right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think honestly, there was... Yeah. Was there a play... I think it was the last game, maybe, where he kind of... took a hard fall and was like kind of shaken up a bit, but was he okay?
He does that. He does that all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that is the key with him. You know, you were just saying like he's unstoppable, but I think that's the thing that can stop him is the injuries. So it's like it's kind of feel like with Joel, you're always walking on, you know, pin needles. Or something like that. That you're just always
thin ice.
Trying to, yeah, thin ice. You don't want to get that major injury that seems to come like periodically for him. So, you know, I feel like, and I forgot to mention before with the teams I was going through, the Heat are also I think one of the better teams in the East, but they've been really up and down as well. So it's like, who do you think is the main competition for the 76ers in the East?
The Nets, still 100%.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because I think once playoffs start, I don't think the Nets. I don't think Kyrie and James Harden will be missing games. I think they're probably gonna want to play every single game, and probably just have to. If I was Steve Nash, I would make him play no matter what.
Yeah.
Because it's the playoffs. You know, you can't take anything for granted. Yeah, you can't just, you know, sit out players. You have to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, even if it's, like, 3-0, like, you still finish the series off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I think I'd be surprised if they sit out at all in the playoffs unless they really have injuries. But, yeah.
But, yeah, so Nets, main competition.
Mm-hmm.
They're a scary team. Scary team.
True. They are scary. Just with those three guys that can, you know, any one of them could kill you any given night, basically. But, you know, speaking of the Nets, I kind of forgot to bring up the other main storyline that's kind of happened recently, last few days, is LaMarcus Aldridge announced his retirement, which was very, like, surprising to me, at least. I think to most people, because it was like, he just
signed with the Nets. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, you know, looking like, okay, you know,
just a solid role player. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So him retiring though, you know, it obviously came off his, night. I don't remember who they were playing. I think it was April 10th though. The last game he played, he noticed an irregular heartbeat that apparently he's had for a long time. It's a congenital heart disorder that he has, that he was diagnosed with his rookie year, but he had a surgery to fix it, and now it like came back again. Apparently, is what happened. I guess is that he noticed the irregular heartbeat again, and so yeah, he retired just because he doesn't want to, have that happen again, I guess, and which is very understandable, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of a abrupt ending to a career, And he's, I feel like he's had a really interesting career because it's like he's one of the best scorers in the league for, you know, the time span that he was in it. Mm. And it's kind of like he's right on the border, I feel like, between the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Very Good. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It's
like there are a lot of those players that are in the Hall of Very Good, like a, I don't know, like a Joe Johnson or a Kemba Walker or, you know, that type of player. But then where I don't know, I feel like LaMarcus Aldridge is like right on the cusp of like between those two places. And it's like,
yeah, I don't know. I agree.
Because I've seen a lot of people like calling him like, oh, what a good end or what an abrupt end to a Hall of Fame career or something like that. I'm like, is LaMarcus Aldridge going to the Hall of Fame? Like, I never really thought about it before. And I was like, that's an interesting one. Like, it's kind of hard.
I don't think he's going to be first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he will eventually make it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
If that's how they do it in the NBA, I just know the NFL does, like, multiple ballots like that.
Yeah, I know. They do that in the NBA, too. Like, Chris Bosh missed first ballot, and he's on the second one now.
Gotcha.
Chris Webber has missed a lot of them, and he's just now getting in, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see.
So.
With that. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't think has quite as good of a case as Chris Webber. It's kind of weird that Chris Webber took so long to get in. Not just, I understand if you're just looking at his NBA career, but with like the whole Fab Five Michigan stuff, it's kind of like, I feel like he really should deserve to be in there.
Yeah, so, no, I agree.
It's weird. But like LaMarcus Aldridge, Chris Bosh, I feel like Bosh takes the edge a little bit. Just because, I mean, I feel like they're probably comparable players if you talk about them as like the number one option on a team. But then Chris Bosh also had a phase in his career where he was like one of the, he's probably the best third best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And won a couple titles, was a really big part of that. So I feel like that, you know, helps his resume as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
But yeah. I mean, Aldridge hasn't really won anything in his career.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably going to be the big take.
Yeah.
When looking at his resume.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's true. But I guess he didn't really have a lot of opportunities either. It's kind of like when he joined the Spurs, I feel like they had one really good chance and Kawhi got injured.
Yeah. You're right.
And so then they lost that series against the Warriors. And then the next year, Kawhi was still injured. from like he sat out that entire year. So like those are really the two seasons. I think those were the only two seasons where it was like Kawhi was in his prime and LaMarcus was there too.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work out because of injury. And then after Kawhi left, you know, I don't think the Spurs were ever really a contender after that.
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure.
But, you know, and with Portland, he didn't have that great of a team ever. It was kind of like Dame in his early years was probably his best teammate other than, I guess, Brandon Roy for the couple years that he was at his peak.
Yeah.
But that both of those things were very short-lived, you know. But, yeah, he's an interesting case. We'll move on from that, though, to A-Rod bought the Timberwolves with the help of Mark Allure, billionaire. So that's an interesting one. You know, I really would have liked KG to buy the Wolves, but
That would have been cool.
Yeah. In a perfect world, but you know, him and the former owner Glenn Taylor do not get along at all. Apparently, Glenn Taylor was not, you know, in discussing selling the team to KG at all. But and then did you see the Anthony Edwards interview?
Yeah, where he didn't know who A-Rod was.
Yeah, that was so funny. I feel like Anthony Edwards has like the best interviews.
He does. I mean, he just so looks like just a normal kid who like just made it to the NBA out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's just like playing basketball for fun. So it's fun to watch him play. For sure.
I saw a video though that was like, it was after that interview he gave where he's like, yeah, I don't know anything about baseball. And it was like, it showed an interview from, like, I think it was in the draft process type place, or maybe it was even after he got drafted, where he was talking about how he used to play baseball growing up, and, like, he was really good, and he could have made it to the MLB, and, like, he was a 5-star recruit in baseball. Like, he was talking about all the positions he played and everything like that. It was just really kind of funny. Yeah. It's like, wait, so you don't know who A-Rod is, but you could have gone to the MLB?
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But he seems like that kind of guy, that he's just, like, really good at sports, and he just doesn't really care about anything else. It's like, like, he probably doesn't even know who, like, Kareem is. No, that was a joke. He probably knows who Kareem is, but
yeah.
It's just, it was a funny interview, though. He's like, were you an A-Rod fan at all growing up? He's like, a fan? What are you talking about? Who was he? And I think also that the other one where that lady just cut him off mid reply and was like, oh, thanks for talking, Anthony. And he's like, oh, okay.
Just ended. No, I'm pretty sure there was a problem, like, with the mics. Like, there was some sort of issue going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, like, she had to cut it off.
I never knew that. I was like, why? No, I'm really? So confused why it ended that way. Like, I had no context for it. It was like, she just asks him a question, he's in the middle of replying, and then she's just like, oh, thanks, and, like, goodbye, basically. It's funny. Yeah, that's interesting. So, she couldn't hear him, or what?
It was some sort of issue. I think she couldn't hear him. And he was just talking, I don't know.
Yeah, she just didn't know when he was going to be done. So she just, and that's funny. Mm-hmm. Other owner news, I guess D-Wade bought, minor, ownership in the Jazz, which is interesting. I think he just, you know, bought the most available, he just wants to be in ownership. And then I guess what else we got? Celtics, like I was saying before, Celtics are doing a lot better ever since that really bad Tatum game that I think you sent something to Jacob about it, and there's, like, some Twitter stuff going on about I think it was a Celtics fan maybe who was talking about wanting to get rid of Tatum, all that kind of stuff. But ever since then, he's been really good. He scored 53 in a game.
Yeah, against the Timberwolves, right?
Yeah, I think it was the Timberwolves.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, but yeah, the Celtics have been a lot better. Even with, like, I feel like they started getting better with Fournier, and now he's been out because of COVID, I think is what he's out with. But they've still been rolling off some wins. So, and now I've seen, like, things on YouTube or Twitter, you know, stuff posted about, oh, can this new look Celtics win the East? And it's like, okay, what is going on? Like, we were looking at them as, like, maybe being in the play-in, and now we're talking about them winning the East. It's just a weird year, you know, all over the place, all these teams. But
yeah, no, I thought the Celtics were going to do a lot better. Like, third, I think I had them, like, 2-seed in my predictions.
Oh, really? Honestly.
Yeah, I had them doing, like, really good.
Wow. Yeah, I had them, I know, at least in the way too early power rankings that Jacob and I did, I had them in, like, the second tier, or maybe even third. I think it was a really high, really high section. I think I had them in the same group as, like, the Nuggets and stuff like that. But that was before any off-season stuff happened, so any draft or free agency type things. So what I was expecting was either Hayward to re-sign with them, or they would get a sign-and-trade done where they would get, like, Miles Turner or, you know, one of those guys that they were talking about maybe trading Hayward for. But instead, he just walked for nothing, and they didn't even use his exception on a trade this year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, I don't know, really weird job done by Danny Ainge.
Yeah, he's been interesting. Like, Celtics fan used to be, like, in love with him, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But then just went the opposite way out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just been odd. Yeah. This whole offseason was weird. From the draft to, which I don't think, you know, in retrospect, the draft was all that bad, but Neesmith was a questionable pick for me, at least at the time, and it, that kind of stands. But I liked Pritchard. Obviously, they hit gold there. So
yeah, that's for sure.
But all the other things, though, you know, losing Hayward, replacing him with, what, Jeff Teague, I think is who they really got this offseason.
But now he's not even on the team.
Yeah. They really didn't get much this offseason. It was kind of weird. But, you know, the deadline wasn't bad for them, though. You know, they got Fournier mixed around Tice, you know, got him out of there and got, so, you know, to give, I think Williams is their main concern there, getting him more run as starting center.
Yeah.
And now they got young backups instead of old ones, you know.
That's good for them.
So, well, they still have Tristan Thompson, though, but I don't know. I don't know what he's going to be. In the coming years.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing in the past few days, right?
I don't think so.
Past few games,
He might be out, but...
I think so.
But yeah, so other than that, we got... What was... I think there was one more thing. Oh, yeah. Did you see the Suns and Jazz game from last week?
I think I watched the end where Donovan Mitchell hit the three. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really good game.
It was a really good game. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. They'd be a fun team to, like, or a fun matchup, I guess, to see. But I don't think we'll see them unless they are in the conference finals together, which would be wild.
It would be wild.
That'd be super wild.
Honestly, yeah. That'd be so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. The East, going back to this really quick, like, the Hawks somehow are in fourth in the East.
They're in fourth.
Yeah, they're the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference.
That's insane.
If that finishes that way, that's so odd. Like, what in the world? And Bogdanovich has been so good for them recently. It's been wild. Like, there's just such an interesting team. So many interesting things happening. The Knicks are the sixth seed. I just don't even know what to... Like, my brain doesn't understand the East when I look at it. I'm like, what is going on?
Who's at eighth right now?
The Hornets.
The Hornets? I hope it stays that way.
Really? Yeah. You think Ball will come back if they make it to the playoffs?
Probably. I would think so.
They've had a lot of guys out, and they're still winning games, I feel like.
I just think that's the best first-round matchup for the 76ers if we stay first. So I'm just hoping that it's them.
Yeah.
Because, fun fact, Simmons is undefeated against the Hornets in his career. So, same with against the Knicks. He has not lost to the Knicks.
That's interesting.
And Kemba Walker, actually. He hasn't lost to Kemba Walker when Simmons has played.
That's interesting.
Against interesting. Him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Hornets, though, they beat the Bucks a few games ago. And they had Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham... PJ Washington, Jalen McDaniels, who I didn't even know was on the Hornets, and Miles Bridges as their starting lineup. Like,
and they won.
Yeah. Jeez. Brad Wanamaker played 23 minutes.
23 minutes?
Yeah. So it was weird. Jalen McDaniels, I didn't even know that he was getting run. I like him. I like him on 2K. Like, in my leagues going into the future, I always have McDaniels as, like, a decent player
in
the future. Both him and his brother, Jaden McDaniels. But they're just, like, nice, you know, stretch bigs. But anyways, we'll wrap this up. So in conclusion, you know, sad about the Nuggets, obviously. But I think... You know, looking at it optimistically, we still got MPJ. We still got some of those other guys that can step up, fill some stuff in. We might be able to make some noise in a playoff series. What I really need, though, or what we really need is Jokic to, I think, buy into being the number one option. Because, you know, he kind of had to be that this whole season because Murray was missing so much time. Porter was missing so much time. And both of them were off to slow starts, even when they were playing. And so it was like basically Jokic is like posting up Jokic is our offense, and if they can't, you know, deal with that, then they have to double it. And once you start doing that, then he's going to find, you know, open teammates, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go back to that format.
For sure.
So, because ever since the deadline, it's been way more of like whenever Jokic gets the ball, he doesn't think about scoring. It's like it feels like he wants to be like a 10-10-10 double-double or triple-double. Yeah. Like he doesn't want to score. It's like, why don't you just go to the basket? But also the refs have been really bad with him lately too. Whenever he has been trying to score or getting someone in the air, it's like there've been so many terrible like just non-calls. And but you know he's been complaining, like Luka, like LeBron type of stuff, which I really don't like mm-hmm. to see my favorite player do that. So
it's like, an MVP phase.
Yeah, exactly. But like the numbers are real though. They show he has like the same number of free throw attempts per game as all of the other top five. So the four other players that are in the top five for what's it called? For MVP voting. Like he has the same amount of games lower than four attempts per game than them. I said that really weird. But like, he has the same amount of games in which he shot less than four free throw attempts.
Four free throws, yeah.
Yeah, and he has the same amount of those games as four of the other top five MVP candidates, which is weird because Jokic is like that's a really big part of his game is drawing fouls. So it's like, how is he not getting to the line that much? And he had
big
like
men don't get love.
Yeah, he had like three games in a row or something like that he only had one or two free throw attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had quite a few with zero even. Jeez. It's just been weird. It's like, why? Like, why? Like, why are you... Yeah. Do refs hate him sometimes?
Yeah, that doesn't make it's sense.
But, you know, I think that if he does that, if he stops letting it affect him and just gets back on defense, I feel like that will help. Like he doesn't need to get all the calls. Just, you know, play the game. Hopefully he starts doing that in the playoffs. Like he won't keep doing that, what he's been doing in the regular season, but,
For sure.
Yeah. So I'm remaining optimistic about the Nuggets, but
yeah,
this could affect this next season too, with Murray coming back. You know, his timeline's about 11 to 13 months, they said. So if he comes back in 13 months, that's in May. And
jeez.
So we're already going to be in the playoffs, basically. And Murray's the type of guy that really needs, like, double-digit amount of games to really get going. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't hit the ground running very well. So, I don't know. It's a bummer, but, yeah. It sucks. But, yeah, I'm rooting for the Sixers, though. I think that this, you said before, like, this might be the year for them. I kind of like that idea now. Like, I don't even know what to root for anymore, but
yeah.
I'll just roll with that. I like the Sixers, but I want them to their duo, you know, to get, at least get one championship.
Yeah. And just careers, prove so. All the critics wrong. It'd be so mm-hmm. cool to see.
Yeah. For sure. It would be. You know, and I like the Nets just because they're weird and entertaining, but at the same time it's like, do I really want James Harden and KD and Kyrie all to win a ring, like instead of like some of the other options? Like I like the more fun option to me is like a Sixers or even a Suns. That would be wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. But I feel like the Nets are the more obvious pick though for me. Just because of the firepower that they have. So like mm-hmm. rational me, not fan me, is still gonna stick with Nets as like my prediction, and probably Lakers in the West. But that's not what I want to happen.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense though.
So we will end this one. Follow us on Twitter. We have a Twitter now, so go do that. It's at @podcastnmu. So you can see our basketball takes on there as we give them, or just some sharing of some NBA news and stuff while we're not recording.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, so go and do that. And it'll probably be posted on there every time we post or upload an episode. And I see that there's going to be a lot of changes, I guess, with Spotify's podcast thing, how it's working. So apparently there's like notification options on there. Like you can turn on post notifications on Spotify. So if you guys are on there, go and do that. That'd be awesome. But yeah, other than that, like, subscribe, comment, do any of that stuff. Really appreciate it. We'll be ramping up the basketball content as, you know, we get closer to the playoffs. I'm sure, like, while the playoffs are going on, we'll probably do, like, instant reaction type stuff to games and series. Mm-hmm. Will be fun. And we'll probably have the whole crew for that. But, yeah, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.